grace, mercy, and peace of God are yours, a gift ordained by God the Father, obtained by God the Son, given by God the Spirit. To God alone the glory. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13 as follows. Then speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the shoot from the stump of Jesse, the man who is called the Branch, dear fellow, redeemed in his precious blood. I attended a number of schools growing up. I first went to kindergarten in Brown County in a little town called Hecla, South Dakota. We moved here to Marquette, and I attended Silver Creek and Beaver Grove and Sandy Knoll and Bothwell Middle School and Marquette Senior High School before going on to Emmanuel High School in Eau Claire, college, and seminary. I had many different teachers, some of which are memorable, others I don't even remember their names. Some of those teachers were effective, others less effective. Let's be honest, some teachers are. They make every effort to get through to their students, others just aren't as gifted or perhaps not as committed. Our Lord is an effective teacher who always wants to get through to us. He wants us to understand Him and His Word. He wants us to apply that Word to our hearts and our lives. For this reason, the Lord often uses things that we understand to better help us understand things that we don't. For example, in Psalm 128, the Lord speaks of the blessings that come to a godly man and father who respects the Lord when he says, Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Of course, we understand that in those words, the Lord is not saying that a godly man will marry a vine that produces for him olive plants. Instead, the Lord uses a picture that we can understand to better describe the blessings that are a godly wife and children. In the 11th chapter of the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul compares Gentile believers like us to branches that have been grafted on to a tree. He does this to warn about being conceited and proud, to remind that the power and strength that we have as Christians comes from Jesus, not from ourselves. In the third, as you heard in our Old Testament lesson, and the sixth chapter of the prophet Zechariah, the Lord speaks of the man whose name is the Branch. This branch, this man, is not a literal limb of a tree, but a particular person. A person who was yet to come when these words were first given to the prophet Zechariah, to be given to Joshua the high priest. The man whose name is the Branch was to build the temple of the Lord and to be both king and prophet, and priest rather. We begin with prayer. O Holy Spirit, we are eternally grateful for the amazing miracle you have worked in our hearts through the message of Christ who lived, died, and rose again to save us. Forgive us for the times we've taken this gift for granted or treated it as a small or insignificant thing. We thank you for the comfort of knowing that we have been pardoned from all sins through Jesus' death, confirmed in his glorious resurrection. We ask that you continue to strengthen this gift and miracle until faith gives way to sight in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are times when more information is needed to understand what's said or done. That was certainly the case with the Virgin Mary. When the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." That statement left Mary confused. The angel Gabriel explained why he had said what he had. When the prophet Zechariah placed an elaborate crown of gold and silver upon the head of the high priest Joshua, there can be little doubt that he was also confused by the action. Kings wore crowns of gold and silver. Priests wore turbans, sometimes ornate, but never to be confused with the crown of a king. No doubt, the high priest wondered, what's this all about? Why did you place the crown of a king on the head of a priest? It turns out that the gesture had little to do with Joshua himself, and everything to do with the man whose name is the branch. For after he set that crown upon his head, he was to say, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out." Now perhaps to us on first reading, the branch may seem an odd name. We expect nicknames that are impressive, stately, powerful. But the man whose name is the branch? Of course, if we remember the scriptures, then it doesn't seem so odd. In fact, not long ago, in our third midweek Advent worship services, we meditated upon the words of Isaiah chapter 11. In that chapter of Isaiah, the Lord says through the prophet, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." We learned that evening that the scripture isn't speaking of a literal shoot or sapling, but a particular descendant of David. Furthermore, the Lord promised through Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him and he would usher in a time of great peace. So also here it's said of this man named the branch that he would branch out, grow up, and be a blessing to many people. It also agrees with the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke 70 years before Zechariah. He also spoke of a branch of righteousness. You, of course, will find these words familiar. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. This is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." Likewise, in our Old Testament lesson this morning, you heard about my servant, the branch. I'll bet you can connect the dots, can't you? This branch is none other than our Lord Jesus. Now notice what the prophet Zechariah says that the man named the branch would do. "From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Wait. That doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, Jesus, Joseph, the son of Mary, was a carpenter, but did Jesus build the temple of the Lord? No. In fact, it was already built when as a 12-year-old he came to it. It was already built when as an 8-day-old he came to it and was circumcised. We seem to have a problem here, don't we? How can Jesus be the man named the branch? Well, we would have a problem, of course, if these words were speaking of the wood and the stone of the temple of the Lord that once stood in Jerusalem. The tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple in Jerusalem, were called the house of the Lord, but they weren't, of course, the place where God lived like we live in our homes. They were symbolic of God's promise to dwell among his people. The temple to which these words refer is not made up of dry wood and cold stone. This temple of the Lord is but a symbol and a picture of a far greater dwelling made up of living stones, a spiritual building in which God the Holy Spirit dwells. This temple of the Lord is referred to by the Apostle Peter in the New Testament with these words: "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul also speaks of this temple that the man named the Branch was to build when he says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Do you get it? The temple of the Lord that the man named the Branch was to build was not like this building, but is in fact made up of all believers. We would say this temple of the Lord is the holy Christian church, the sum total of all of those who trust in Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, and are therefore part of the family of God. But wouldn't God want to use better building materials than us? I mean, without exception, we're all fallen sinners. Not exactly the best materials for a holy temple in the Lord, don't you think? How could God take sinners like us and make us into anything resembling a holy temple in the Lord? Again, I think you know. He did it when he first cleansed you of sin in the waters of baptism. He washed you clean and at the same time united you to Jesus like a master builder unites one brick to another on the cornerstone. We deserved, of course, to be tossed out onto the other pile of rocks like a bunch of blockheads. But instead, God showed amazing grace to us and made us his own dear children and heirs. He sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us. The temple foretold by the prophet Zechariah is still under construction today. It's not done. And what's even more amazing is that God the Holy Spirit wants to use each of you to complete this building project. And you help when you tell your family, your friends, your neighbors about the man whose name is the Branch, who is both king and priest, both the one who rules and the source of our peace. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. In the United States, we call it the principle of the separation of church and state. It's the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that states, you know the words, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." In simple language, this amendment promotes freedom of religion and prohibits the federal government from tampering or hindering its citizens in their worship. In the nation of Israel, there wasn't any separation of church and state, because Israel, as you recall, was a theocracy, was a nation governed by God. Even after Israel asked for a king, still the king ruled the nation. But he also sought the advice of the church, of the prophet, and of the priest. As is the case with human beings, there were times when the two didn't get along, when the king and the priest didn't get along. But no one ever held both office, was both king and priest at the same time. And yet when the prophet Zechariah was told to make an elaborate crown of gold and silver and place it on the head of the high priest, he was foretelling that the man whose name was Branch would hold both offices, would be both king and priest. He would not only rule the kingdom, he would also be the kingdom's intercessor with God. He would do what a king does, and he would also make atonement for the people. The description can only fit the Lord Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who established his kingdom by defeating our spiritual enemies, Satan, sin, death. And he did this in the most peculiar of ways, by taking our sins and wickedness upon himself and offering himself as the sacrifice for sin. And it's for this reason that it's said here of him that he has the counsel of peace and exercises it between the office of king and priest. The long and short of it is that Jesus doesn't only rule Israelites. He's been given all authority in heaven and on earth. The universe is under his control. And he rules all things for the benefit of his people. He rules in our hearts and minds, not by force or fear, but by love. He counters our fear of judgment by comforting our hearts in the Lord's Supper, by assuring us that he gave his body and he shed his blood to reconcile us to God. And the man whose name is the Branch is still king and priest. But unlike so many kings and politicians today, he isn't in it for himself. He's in it for his people. Unlike those Old Testament priests, he didn't offer the blood of some poor animal, but his own, to make peace forever with God for you. Behold the man whose name is the Branch. He's still building the temple of the Lord, and he's still working as our king and priest. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Unto life everlasting. Amen.